Johnson. He's the coach and vice principal president.
Good morning. How you guys doing this morning? All right. I am fired up. You guys ready to go? Yes, Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Get right into this thing. All right. Father God, we thank you and we love you and we praise you for being our God, Lord. We can't only imagine when we get a chance to see you face to face, Lord. We know, Lord, as we're here on this earth, as you prepare us for heaven, Lord, that we must give account. We must give account to our thoughts, to our actions, Lord, to our service for you, Lord. And we thank you that the work that you have started, the good work that you have started, Lord. Your word says that you are faithful to complete it, Lord. And as we come together as a body, Lord, that is our desire. And as we learn today, Lord, by those who have come before us, we desire to be loyal to you, God. That is our prayer this morning, Lord. We ask for your blessing. Holy Spirit, come and anoint this message. In this Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Last night I was here, you guys, and I shared the message. God is looking for a people that is loyal to him with so many services this morning. The second portion of that sermon I will not be able to give because there's time constraints. So if you guys want to get the DVD, I know they copied it in the back. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. God is looking for a people that is loyal to him. He's looking. It's not a question of if he wants you. God wants you this morning. And he wants you to be loyal to him. We're going to start in Exodus 2. The first part of that loyalty is God has to be first. Exodus 20, verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Right off the get-go, God has to be first in our life if we desire to be loyal to him. He has to be first. Turn me to 2 Chronicles 15, 12 through 13. We'll go through some scripture this morning. I don't want you guys to hear Chris Johnson. I want you to hear the word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12 through 13. Remember, God is looking for a people that is loyal to him. He's searching. It says, then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. God is looking for people that is loyal to him. When you come to the body of Christ, we can't have halfway. As you guys heard, I'm a football coach. One of the things I tell my guys on the football team is that I need all of you. Football is such a tough sport that I need everyone to be committed. And the body of Christ, we need to be committed. Because the devil, the Bible says the devil is seeking, he's looking around whom he may devour. He's looking to destroy us as a body. So there can't be a half commitment. There has to be total commitment. Man, you guys know the verse in Matthew 6:33. It says that, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. What does that mean? Seek first the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God is God's rule in our life. We have to seek it. It's not a look. It's not looking underneath this Bible. Oh, well, God is not there today. No, seek. We have to seek him. Seek his rule in our life. And ultimately what we want as believers is we want God to rule the entire universe. That starts with each and every one of us as an individual. Is God ruling in our life? God is looking for people that is loyal to him. He has to be first, though. He can't be second. He can't be 1A. He has to be first. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 39. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 39. God wants all of us this morning. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. I'm going to read verse 38 again. I'm going to read a commentary as I was studying. Something was interesting about that cross. I'm going to read verse 38 again. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Verse 39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Before I read the commentary, maybe today the Holy Spirit has already spoken to you. And you know, Lord, you know what? I've backed away. You don't have all of my heart in some areas of my life. The God we serve is a gracious and merciful God. He's a gracious and merciful God. He's willing to forgive. He's quick to forgive. He wants to work with us. So maybe today it's right now. Lord, you've already spoken to me. I want you to take all of me. Show me the parts of my life that you desire to take more control of. Let's read a little bit more about this cross. Take his cross. What does this mean? Those who carried a cross were condemned to die. The disciple must die to self-will. God's will must become the disciple's will. He may have to give up his own plans and ambitions, perhaps even his life. Isn't that amazing what Jesus did for us? Those who follow the crucified one should expect suffering. He whose goal is merely to preserve his physical life will lose all that makes life worthwhile. He who gives up his own interest for Jesus will find a fulfilled life and a blessing throughout eternity. Talking about suffering, Wednesday, Miles called me at work and he said, Chris, I'd like for you to preach. And if you guys know Miles being a leader, he's forceful. He's a get it done type person. He's like, and I don't need you to pray about it. I was like, I hear you, Miles, but the Lord's already spoken. Last Sunday, my baby girl was dedicated. My two-year-old child was dedicated at Horizon. And when I was leaving off the stage, and Pastor Mike said, yeah, and Chris needs to be a pastor. I was like, whoa, that floored me. So I'm walking down the stairs. I'm like, man, my senior pastor tell me I need to be a pastor. Well, for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? I was a former NFL player. That's how I met Miles. Darren Carrington, the youth pastor here, led me to the Lord, me and my wife. And since then, I've been on this journey to give my life to God. So this message that I'm preaching this morning, this is from my heart because it's what God is doing in my life right now. So if you wonder why I'm so fired up, God is doing, he's making a change in my life. Just this past December, I finished my Master's of Divinity at Azusa Pacific. And I said, Lord, okay, what's next? What do you want me to do? So Wednesday's there. We have a coaches meeting after spring football practice. And my oldest child comes in during the coaches meeting. And she's Miss Drama Queen. I mean, I think she's going to be in a theatrics someday. Daddy, 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 we're at the store at Macy's and a mirror fell on Kaya. Kaya's my middle child. I'm like, yeah, okay. So we're going with the coaches meeting. So I get in the car. We're driving. We live in Mira Mesa, and we're getting on the freeway. I'm like, Lisa, Asia came in during the meeting and said a mirror fell on Kaya. I'm thinking that she might have walked by and bumped the mirror. I'm like, oh, man, we don't have no money, man. We got to pay for this. I'm thinking she's going to tell me, oh, man, yeah, I had to give these people some money. Kaya was acting up. You guys know the beams in the store, like that beam that's in the middle of this room that goes all the way up to the ceiling? The mirror fell out of that beam, hit my baby on the back of the head, and shattered into pieces. First thing, I was like, take me down to Macy's. Let's go. It's on. My flesh, I was like, man, I want to talk to the manager. What did they do? What did they say? And she told me, they took me in. They took a report, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I can't believe this. So we go up to Macy's in UTC. I got to see this mirror. I walked in, and as soon as I walk into UTC, I see that beam. I'm like, I know that ain't what fell on my baby. So I just try to walk, and I said, Lisa, where's it at? She said, that one right there. And I just sat there, and I just stared at it. And my flesh started rising up, and I said, no, it's just the devil. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's walking around. Who am I to say that that's past me? And as I calmed down, I said, you know, I kind of made a joke out of it. My baby, she wears this big afro, you know, like Chaka Khan. You know? I was like, man, she had that patent thing going on, saved her life. Oh. But all jokes aside, you guys, God is looking for people that is loyal to him. As Christians, we must expect to suffer. It comes out of 1 Peter. We're going to suffer. It says if you suffer as a Christian, that's a good thing. If you suffer as a busybody, as a gossip, that's a whole other thing. But as Christians, we're going to suffer. Are you willing to be loyal to God through the good, through the bad? Are you willing to be loyal to him? We're going to turn to 2 Chronicles. I'm going to give you guys the text that this message comes out of, and I'm going to read it right away. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Once again, this message started in my heart in January. It originally started for my football team. We had beaten a team called Santa Fe Christian. We had never beaten them. Well, actually, only one time before in my coaching career had we beaten them. And we beat them, and I watched my team. After that game, we kind of started going downhill. I have on camera some of my players getting cocky. They're all fired up, and they're like, I'm known as a pretty disciplinarian coach. Oh, man, we don't have to run on Monday. We're going to get all this stuff. Coach Chris is going to slow down on us. And I'm thinking, well, no, hard work got us here. We're going to keep on doing the hard work. And the Lord gave me this verse at the end of the season. I want you guys to look at this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts is loyal to him. I'm going to read that again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Second part. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. The whole point of the message this morning is to, I'm going to take you guys through a little bit of history. We'll go all the way back to chapter 10. We'll go all the way up through 16. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys a brief summary of some of the kings that came before King Asa, and hopefully this verse will make a lot more sense to you. But the one thing you have to get, I'm very visual. That's why I love coming to hear Pastor Miles speak. I want you guys to see this. God is searching to and fro. He's looking. He's checking it out. And he wants to know who's going to be loyal to him. Today, every day, he's looking for a heart that's going to be loyal to him. Pastor Miles told me that you guys are a church that likes to be challenged. Here's the challenge. Are you willing to be loyal to God? Are you willing to be loyal to God? Here we go. Let's go all the way back to chapter 10, okay? We have to preface this going all the way back. I'm going to go kind of quick, you guys. You're going to have to read it for yourself. What I'll do is I'm going to give you a couple scriptures in each chapter. I'm going to give you a subtopic that I came up with, but you need to go back and read chapter 10 through 16, and that verse will transform your life because it'll make a lot more sense to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Now, remember, my first point was that if you're going to be loyal to God, he must be first. For those of you taking notes this morning, that was my first point. God has to be first in your life. Remember, he took the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he said, you have no other God before me. You're not to return there. Here's the second point, 2 Chronicles chapter 10. You have to listen to wisdom. Listen to wisdom. Listen to people who are wise who are going to speak into your life. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, this is a summary of verses 4 through 19. Rehoboam takes over Judah. This is Solomon's son. He does not listen to the elders who tell him to lighten the yoke that his father had on Israel. He listens to the younger men that he grew up with. So here it is. We have, to help you guys out, we're going to have what I call good Judah and bad Israel. This is when the nation of Israel had been separated. They had been separated. Rehoboam is Solomon's child. He's going to take over the southern kingdom of Judah. For those who've done the research, you know that for the most part, the kings in the southern kingdom were kind of good. They were obedient to God. The kings of the northern kingdom were not. And we're going to trace that all the way to chapter 16, and we're going to see how what happens when you follow God, when you're loyal to him, and what happens when you don't. All right? Right off the get-go, Rehoboam says, okay, I'm not going to listen to the elders, those older men in the crowd who have knowledge, who speak into my life. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to listen to my homeboys. For you teenagers in the crowd, I'm going to listen to my homeboys and my homegirls. I'm not going to listen to mom, dad, aunt, or uncle, or the pastors. I'm going to listen to those who have a like mind as me, not to those who give wisdom. Second point, 2 Chronicles chapter 11, keep God's word a priority. We want to listen to wisdom, and we want to keep God's word a priority. This is verse 17, 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 17. Jeroboam, a servant of Solomon, had removed the priests and Levites and replaced them with priests he had appointed for himself, for the demons and the calf idols which he made. So now we go to the northern kingdom. We go to bad Israel. This was Solomon's servant at one point in time, and he removes the kings. I mean, he removes the Levites and the priests. So what did he just do? He removed those who were teaching the word of God. Where is God's word in your life? Is it a priority? One of the battles I have is getting up in the morning. Okay, I got to do my Devo. No, not that I got to do my Devo. I get the opportunity to spend time with God. Is God's word a priority in your life? If you want to be loyal to him, you have to seek after wisdom. Listen to those people who are wise, and his word has to be a priority. I know you're seeing Pastor very well. I know he preaches the word of God. But that can only go so far on a Sunday. What about you on your day-to-day basis? Are you spending time in God's word? The Levites and priests set their heart to seek the Lord of God, the God of Israel, and came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. Verse 17, so they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong for 3 years because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. So what did the priests do, the Levites and the priests do? They left the northern kingdom, they went to the southern kingdom, and they strengthened Rehoboam, Solomon's son. They knew what they were called to do. They knew they were called to preach the word of God. The kings of the northern kingdom didn't want to have anything to do with them. They go to the southern kingdom. What do you do when you're not getting fed the word of God? Is it all good? Is it cool? Or do you have a desire to seek after God's word? If we want to be loyal to him, his word has to be a priority. Point three, 2 Chronicles chapter 12. We're still dealing with King Rehoboam in Judah. You can't forget about God. When things get to going good, we can't forget about God. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself that he what? That he forsook the law of the Lord and all of Israel along with him. Now this is a powerful message. Now here's someone in leadership who's not spending time in the word, that's forsaken the word of God. Not only does he hurt himself, but who else does he hurt? He hurts those who are following him. When things are going good, what do you do? Is it okay, my prayer time goes down, my reading time goes down? This week I really don't have time to go to home fellowship. Everything is going good in my life. But when a catastrophe comes in my life, that's when I want to go back to spending time with God. That's not being loyal to God. God is looking for people that is willing to be loyal to him. Verse 7 and 8. Though Judah was not destroyed, they were taken as servants of Shishak. They would now be able to distinguish God's service from the service of the kingdoms of nations of Rehoboam. Of the kingdom of the nations. Rehoboam dies. He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So basically what happened is, like it happens in our life, we're being disobedient to God. Because he's so loving, what does he allow to happen? He allows hard things to come in our life. Not because he's an evil God. What's the point of those hard things? He wants to draw us back to him. And that's what he did here. He said, I'm not going to totally do away with you guys. You see that in the Old Testament, right? Israel obeys, they have blessings. They disobey what? There's a curse that goes all the way back to Deuteronomy. Right here, this is what happens. He says, okay, I'm not going to totally destroy you guys, but you will now see what it's like to serve me and to serve man. Who do you serve today? Are you serving God or are you serving man? Is your job paying the bills or is God paying the bills? The God I serve, I thought he was the one that always paid the bills. So I don't work for a man. I work for God. That's the God that I serve. God is looking for a people that is loyal to him. Therefore, third point, when things are going well, we cannot forget about God. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. King Abijah, still talking about Judah. Next point, God is in control. God is in control. While standing on the mountain, Abijah tells Jeroboam, remember, Jeroboam was formerly Solomon's servant. Verse 5, listen at this. 2 Chronicles 13, verse 5. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons by a covenant of salt? I'm going to read that again. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion of Israel to David forever and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Once again, you got good Judah, bad Israel. He's saying, hey, man, I'm not tripping on you. I know who's in control. You the one who forgot. The devil starts roaring. Maybe it's a boss at work. Maybe it's a coworker. It might even be someone in your family. No, God is in control. Let's listen and see the situation that he gets put in. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. Remember, this is King Abijah yelling out from the top of a mountain to Jeroboam, Solomon's servant. 2 Chronicles 13, verses 13 through 14. Jeroboam surrounded Abijah and Judah in the front and the back. The men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. God is in control. They were surrounded in the front. They were surrounded in the back. They were getting ready to go to war. There's nowhere to go. There were nowhere to go. But God is in control. Sometimes in our life, we feel like that. Don't you feel like you're put in a box? You just don't know where to go, and you're screaming out, Lord, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? If I go this way, I make a mistake. It could be costly. If I go this way, it could be costly. Remember, God is in control. He's in total control. There's nothing that happens in this world that God does not see and he does not understand. I tell my players all the time, there's no such thing as luck or happen chance when you're dealing with God. God knows every single thing, and he's looking for people that is loyal to him. These words this morning, is it just a history story, or is it the word of God? Is it the profound word of God? That's up to you. But God is looking for people that are willing to be loyal to him. And review, you have to listen to wisdom. You have to keep God's word a priority. You can't forget about God when things are going well. God is in control. You have to know that. Chapter 14. Now we're going to a different king for Judah, King Asa. Judah's attacked by Ethiopian army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. Quite often in life as Christians, we're going to face that Goliath. Remember the story of David and Goliath? We're going to face that enemy that there's no way in the world that we can beat him. But we just learned in the previous chapter that God is in control. Now let's look at King Asa and see how he deals with this. He's going to go to war with the Ethiopian army, against the Ethiopian army that has 1 million men, 300 chariots. Basically, he's outmanned. No way in the world he should win. Let's see what happens. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. The point here is our fight is for God. We fight for God. As Christians, the battle that we're in is for the Lord. It's not about us. When we came to Christ, what we said is, Lord, my life is no longer pleasing as it is. I want it to be pleasing for you, and you have to be inside of me for it to be pleasing. Here it is. And Asa cried out to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Listen to his heart. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on you. And in your name, we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. When you're outnumbered, when you're feeling like you can't go no more, do you cry out on God? Do you rely on God? God is looking for people that is loyal to him. The point is, our fight is for God. It's not for man. It's not for our company. It's for God. Any situation that you're in, you want to bring God to glory. That way you know that it's his battle. That's how we know that we can continue on. 2 Chronicles 15, we're getting closer to our home point in chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 15, we're still dealing with King Asa and Judah. Here's the next point. Seek after God. Seek after God. Verses 1 and 2, let's look at this. King Asa is told by Azariah that the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will what? He will forsake you. Next point, are you seeking after God? According to that scripture, it's very, very important. Because the Bible says if we seek after God, we will find him. If we seek after him, once again, it's not just coming to church on Sunday, just showing up. It's a day-by-day thing. God is looking for people that is loyal to him. Is your life upside down right now? Do you have no peace? The question I would have for you, are you being loyal to God? I've given you a list of steps that show about this loyalty. This point right here says you have to seek after him. Are you really, really seeking after the things of God? Go down to verse 12 with me. King Asa received what Azariah said. Then they, Judah, remember still talking about the southern kingdom, entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And I read this earlier. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. It's like revival time. Lord, I hear you. And maybe that's you this morning. Lord, I hear you. I haven't been loyal to you. I'm ready. I'm going to seek after you with all my heart and all my soul. You go to the New Testament, we see that same scripture. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is what it takes to be considered a person that's loyal to God. This is what it takes. Now, here we go. Chapter 16. We'll go back to our text that we started with. I'm going to read it again. Verse 9. Hopefully, this is starting to make a little bit more sense as we go through and you see the history. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Let's read it again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you should have wars. Now, I'm going to set this up a little bit. This is to King Asa. Now, remember, God had just helped him beat an army of 1 million people and 300 chariots. Before him, his fathers and grandfathers had also went to battle and had victory because they relied on God. Now, the battle in our life is not over. There's still going to be battles. Here, we're talking about wars, and our life is spiritual battles. Remember, the sermon title was God is looking for people that's loyal to him. Let's look and see what happens when King Asa goes through the next battle in his life. 2 Chronicles 16:1. King Baasha, king of Israel, remember, good Judah, bad Israel. King Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah. In response to this, King Asa was the king of good Judah, brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus. Verse 4, King Asa wanted King Ben-Hadad to break his treaty with King Baasha, bad Israel. So you have good Judah. He's getting ready to get attacked by Israel, by bad Israel. He wants the king of Syria to break his treaty with bad Israel and come to him and help him out. Let's see what happens. Ben-Hadad took heed to this and sent armies against the city of Israel. Here's my first point, you guys. Okay, not only is he getting ready to go away from trusting in the Lord, but he's asking a king that's already in a deal with his enemy to give that up and come to him. Why would you want someone on your team that's already proven to be a traitor? Come on. What makes you think that he's not going to turn his back on you? Man, we can be foolish sometimes, can't we? Man, we can be foolish. Let's read on. Verse 7. Hanani the seer came to King Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. He had just went through the battle with a million people, 300 chariots. God had stepped in to feed them. They had been surrounded in the front and in the back. God showed up with a shout. They shout, God destroys them. This is what happened beforehand. Now, for whatever reason, this battle is too hot and too heavy, and he chooses to rely on man, not in God. I know that's just not this king right here. That's in our lives. God is looking for people that is loyal to him. Maybe today you can look back and say, you know what, Lord, I blew that one. You don't serve a God that just wants to crush you. You serve a God that wants to lift you up. And my prayer, I said, the God we serve, the good work that he started in us, he is faithful to complete it. Only thing we need to do is ask him for repentance. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I have not been loyal to you. Can you help me? And that's the challenge I have for you today. Are you willing to do that? There are areas in our lives that we're not loyal to God. Are you willing to admit that and move on to serve the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings? That's what it takes to be on his team. Let's finish up. I'm almost finished. Verse 8, the seer asked King Asa, were not the Ethiopians, the army of 1 million, and the Lubium not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Don't forget what God has done. As you can know, this point for chapter 16 is rely on God. Rely on God. Don't rely on man. You have to rely on God. I'm going to read verse 9 again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you should have wars. Now, let's look at Asa's response. This is sweet. I love when the word of God comes together like this. Let's look at his response. King Asa became angry and put the seer in prison. So now his response, okay, he didn't blew it. He the one messed up. God had did a work for him and his people before. He trusts in man instead of trusting in God. Let's look at his response. There could be a heart of repentance, or you can look at his heart right here. He becomes angry. He puts Nasir in prison. The second point says he oppressed some people at that time. The last one, and later in his life, his feet became diseased. Yet he did not seek after the Lord. Boy, I know about stubbornness and prideful. Part of the reason I made it to the NFL because of my stubbornness and prideful, that stick-to-itiveness, and that's one of the things the Lord's been grinding out of me slowly but surely because I don't want to let it go. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord's speaking to you, when he's allowing you to go through situations to draw him closer to you, what's your response? Do you still not turn to him? Let's review. God has to be first. He has to be first. He took us out of Egypt. He says you have no other gods besides him. What in your life are you putting before God? It could be anything. It could be your money. It could be your car. It could be your iPod. It could be your music. It could be your job. There's all kinds of things we put before God this day and age. One of the things I got to battle is watching film. I love coaching football. I love watching film. I do. I'm like a film junkie. I go home and just pop in a tape. It's relaxing to me. But if I haven't done my study or read my Bible, I got, you know, is God's word a priority? Man, there's battles every single day, you guys. We can't let our pride get in the way. God has to be first. Second point, chapter 10. We got to listen to wisdom. God puts people in our life. Remember, Rehoboam didn't listen to the elders. He listened to his homeboys and his homegirls. He didn't listen to those who had knowledge. Chapter 11, keep God's word a priority. Jeroboam, bad king of Israel, he removed the priests and the Levites. Those who were supposed to present God's word, he removed them. We can't remove God's word from our life. Chapter 12, don't forget about God. Rehoboam forsook God after he had established a kingdom and strengthened himself. When things got good, he removed God from his life. Can't do that if you can consider yourself a loyal servant to God. Chapter 13, God is in control. King Abijah was surrounded in the front and in the back. Remember, they shouted out, God defeated them. God defeated them. God is in control. Remember, our fight is for God. This is chapter 14. King Asa cried out to God. He said, God, we rest in you, and in your name we go against this multitude. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against spirits and principalities. Our fight as Christians is for God. We fight for God. Chapter 15, seek after God. We have to seek after God. It says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. Remember, this is not seeking. I did my devotion today. I got it in. No, we got to spend some time studying the word of God so it becomes part of our heart. And then last but not least, in chapter 16, we have to rely on God. Remember, God had come before King Asa and defeated the Ethiopians because he relied on God. Now, the second battle comes up. He wanted to go to King Ben-Hadad of Syria, and he wants to trust in man instead of trusting in God. I'm not saying that it's easy. It's our flesh. Our flesh likes to be able to people that we can feel. We can see man. We can see woman. God, where are you at, Lord? Sometimes I be like, oh, man, Lord, what did I do? Come on, tell me, where are you at? You got to show up. Lord, I got to hear, man, I got to hear. Chill, dude. God is on the throne. I ain't going nowhere, Chris. Just because you want it right now don't mean I'm going to show up. My timing is perfect timing. God is looking for people that's loyal to him. That's the message, you guys. Today, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So all this is just muddle. But you heard, man, I'm not trusting in this God. I need him today in my heart. You don't get an opportunity. Maybe, just maybe, you're the type of person where, hey, I know the Lord. I've been saved for a while, but I've been struggling with this loyalty thing. Maybe it's the time for you to come up and ask the prayer leaders for help. Hey, I need to learn to be loyal for God. I think this message is for all of us, though. All of us can grow a little bit closer to God. God is looking for a people that is loyal to him. I'll end with this, you guys. With all the things that's going on in our country and our world, we don't have time not to be serious about the things of God. Amen. What keeps me on track, this is a question I have to ask myself. Chris, if God came back, if you knew God was coming back tomorrow, what would you be doing today? That determines where I work at. That determines how I live my life. That determines how I treat my wife. It determines how I treat my kids if I knew God was coming back tomorrow. So often we have all these plans and forethoughts and we have all this vision and we get ahead of ourselves and we forget the Bible says tomorrow's not guaranteed. We're going to give account for our thoughts and our actions. God is looking for a people that's loyal to him. All right, let's pray, you guys. Lord God, We thank you for being our God. We thank you for loving us and caring for us, Lord. Maybe there's one here today, Lord, that needs you. And I ask that they would just pray this simple prayer. Dear God, I'm a sinner and I need you. I've never come to rely upon you. I've always done things on my own. Holy Spirit, you know those hearts out there. And I know, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about the message, but your Spirit wants to draw people to you. And Lord, there are others like myself, Lord, who in areas of our life, we just haven't been loyal to you. We haven't relied on you. Whatever it is, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would guide and direct. We love you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.